Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our regular Friday program. And we start the day off today with the Munich Model, bringing mindfulness and meditation to university students. And this is written by Andreas de Bruyn. In March of 2010, I offered to teach a summer term credit course called Mindfulness and Meditation at the Munich University of Applied Sciences, where I work. It was the first time such a course was offered, with space for up to 15 participants. 65 students applied. This marked the small beginnings of a program now called the Munich Model, an example of how mindfulness and meditation can be implemented at universities in a successful and sustainable way. Since then, the Munich Model has continuously grown in size and scope. Each semester, 150 students attend the program's courses, which include such classes as mindfulness in various contexts, Zen meditation, Vipassana meditation, and transmission meditation. Also part of the program are regular classes exploring spiritual teachers and their concepts, and courses on the implementation of mindfulness and meditation. Specific to each degree program, the course includes films showcasing the research and efficacy of meditation and mindfulness practices.
To date, 1,635 students have participated in these classes and workshops as a regular part of their curricula for studies in social work, elementary, special needs and teacher education, nursing, psychology and general interdisciplinary studies at both Munich University of Applied Sciences and Ludwig Maximilians University in Munich. What makes the pioneering program particularly special is that students receive regular grades and ECTS. ECTS is a course for which European credit transfer systems or course credits may be earned, contributing to a student's final grade. And they receive these for participating in these courses, earned through active participation, the practice of meditation exercises at home, observations noted in a daily journal, and personal reflection through a term paper. Why should mindfulness and meditation be part of a university's educational mission? Research has shown that the regular practice of meditation can improve not only abilities like concentration, compassion, stress management, and the regulation of emotions, but also overall physical and mental well-being, all of paramount importance to students, particularly as these skills impact both performance and creativity.
These practices not only calm the mind and body, but functionally change the brain. It has been observed through research using MRI brain scans that meditation reduces stress, influencing the size of the hippocampus and the amygdala. A regular meditative practice can change our own perception, thinking and behavior patterns in a constructive and permanent way. Our current educational system is focused almost entirely on the cognitive training of the brain and intellect to prepare students for their future working life. In her book, From Intellect to Intuition, Alice A. Bailey says that one of the underlying causes, perhaps the greatest, of our materialistic age is the lack of the spiritual element in our formal education. In this vein, what is not taken into account in education today is the importance of fostering the intuition, what Benjamin Krem calls the light of the soul, the Buddhic level of the soul working directly through the mind, and that was in The Art of Living. Meditation offers an important alternative and yet complementary training of the mind that goes beyond the scope of merely acquiring intellectual skills to help develop the intuition.
What about creativity? In his TED talk titled How Schools Kill Creativity, author and educational expert Sir Ken Robinson highlights the importance of fostering the creativity of young people. He says that creativity is necessary for the development of relevant, original ideas, which often have their origins in the interaction of different perspectives. Meditation is a catalyst for creative processes. Ideally, creativity is a state of being. As we immerse ourselves through the regular practice of meditation in this inner space or deeper level of our being, our self or soul, our inherent creativity, which originates from this source, can flower forth and find expression in our lives. A spiritual teacher called Sri Chinmoy, who lived between 1931 and 2007, taught peace meditations from 1970 until the end of his life, offered classes twice a week to delegates and employees of the United Nations, and said, "When we meditate, what we actually do is enter into the deeper part of our being. At that time, we are able to bring to the fore the wealth that we have deep within us." And that was from a book titled Meditation, God's Duty and Man's Beauty.
In recent years, student groups and faculties from universities in Germany, the Netherlands, Austria, Switzerland, Belgium and Italy have invited me to speak about the program, teach meditation courses and help these schools to develop their own accredited meditation programs. The first students I taught are now themselves teaching the Munich Model's initial mindfulness classes to give more time to focus on fine-tuning the program and bringing this model to universities wherever interest is expressed. Additionally, a network of students from the Munich Model has developed to allow students to exchange experiences they gained in a meditation and mindfulness project, in brackets, in the context of an internship or thesis, and to discuss their own meditation research. As an adjunct to the program, I host a free public lecture and film series on the lives and works of spiritual teachers like Blavatsky, Bailey, Krem, Krishnamurti, Thich Nhat Hanh, and others. For a year now, I have also hosted a weekly transmission meditation group for interested students, including some from other universities in the local area.
Teaching on various degree programs since the advent of the Munich model, and having read about 1,300 meditation diaries, each 25 to 40 pages long, I can say from my own perspective that the courses offered through the Munich model help students to deal in a healthier way with the hectic nature of life today, with uncertain future prospects, the overall pressure to perform, and the often very high workload in their studies. In March 2016, an undergraduate student generated a student survey via an online questionnaire for participants of the winter term 2015/16 meditation courses. The answers were heartening and clearly indicate that the students recognize the benefits of mindfulness and meditation. Students were asked if they agreed with the following statement: "Meditation at university is a meaningful and successful enrichment for students and should be offered on a larger scale." Affirming the work of the Munich model, 86.1% of the students answered, "I completely agree."
Now, this next piece comes from Share International magazine and was sourced from the Maitreya's Priorities section. And this is a quote from Benjamin Krem's master, which was taken in January 1989. "To aid men in their task, the Christ has formulated certain priorities. They cover the essential needs of every man, woman, and child. The first priority is an adequate supply of the right food. Secondly, adequate housing and shelter for all. Thirdly, healthcare and education as a universal right. And carrying on with this, the occupied Palestinian territory, the cost of occupation. The occupied Palestinian territory could easily be twice as wealthy as it is now and could cut unemployment and poverty significantly if Israeli occupation ceased. These are the findings of the annual United Nations Conference on Trade and Development, for short, UNCTAD. The report was released on the 6th of September 2016. According to the report on the UNCTAD assistance to the Palestinian people, the economy of the occupied Palestinian territory could double the gross domestic product, GDP, it generates now.
UNCTAD identified the main channels through which the Israeli occupation deprives the Palestinian people of their human right to development and undermines the Palestinian economy. Chief among them are confiscation of Palestinian land, water and other natural resources, loss of policy space, restrictions on the movement of people and goods, destruction of assets and the productive base, expansion of Israeli settlements, fragmentation of domestic markets and separation from international markets and forced dependence on the Israeli economy and a continuous process of de-agriculturalization and de-industrialization. According to the report, Israel withheld Palestinian fiscal revenue for 4 months in 2015. Donor aid declined and Israeli settlements continued to expand into the occupied Palestinian territory, while poverty and unemployment remained high. It also notes that the occupied Palestinian territory continued to be a captive market for exports from Israel, while occupation neutralized the potential development impact of donor aid, and genuine reconstruction had yet to take off in the Gaza Strip, despite $3.5 billion in donor pledges. Gaza's socio-economic conditions also worsened, and the infant mortality rate increased for the first time in 50 years.
The cost of the direct damage inflicted by three Israeli military operations between 2008 and 2014 is estimated to be at least three times the size of Gaza's annual GDP. More than 2.5 million productive trees, including 800,000 olive trees, have been uprooted since 1967. The report points out that the Palestinians are also prohibited from maintaining or digging water wells, while Israel has been extracting much more water than the level stipulated by the 1993 Oslo Accords and confiscating 82% of Palestinian groundwater. The Palestinians are left with no choice but to import their own water from Israel to cover 50% of their consumption. Unemployment is another cause of distress to Palestinians, resulting in poverty and food insecurity. In 2015, the report says 25% of the people in the occupied Palestinian territory were unemployed and 66% were food insecure. In Gaza, unemployment reached 38% in 2015. 73% of the population are in need of humanitarian assistance.
The report also attributes the economic weakness to Israel's withholding of Palestinian tax revenue during the first 4 months of 2015. The fees collected by Israel to process Palestinian imports would prevent about $50 million in overpayment from the Palestinian National Authority to Israel and reduce its fiscal deficit by 3.5%. Meanwhile, the occupied Palestinian territory continues to be a captive market for Israeli exports as a result of the restrictions on Palestinian trade and productive activities. Consequently, trade with Israel accounts for 54% of the Palestinian trade deficit. As Secretary General Mukhisa Kituyi said, the trade is the very cornerstone upon which economic development can be built, and boosting sustained growth requires more and better trade.
Israel has tightened its blockade on Gaza during the past year and added more items to the banned list of dual-use items, a list of civilian goods that Palestinians are not allowed to import because Israel deems them as having potentially harmful uses. The list includes raw materials, agricultural fertilizers, telecommunications equipment, steel, pipes, spare parts, and other capital goods. The closure of Gaza suffocates its people, stifles its economy, and impedes reconstruction efforts, United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said in June 2016. He called the closure collective punishment for which there must be accountability. And the source for that was the un.org.unctad.org.
So to finish today's program, we have a couple of questions that were asked of Benjamin Krem and published in an issue of Share International magazine. And the first question that was asked is Maitreya God? And Benjamin Krem's answer, Maitreya is omniscient and omnipresent. Nothing happens anywhere without his knowing it. It says in the Bible that if a little leaf or bird falls to the ground, God knows it. Maitreya is not God, except that we are all God, but he is more aware of the nature of that divinity than we are. That is the difference between us, but it is a difference only of circumstance and opportunity. He has been at it for so much longer than us, literally for millions and millions of years, and he has never made a mistake. So he is able to do what we think we are unable to do. But we are divine. Maitreya says everyone on earth is divine. Everybody is needed and every single person counts. So he comes to teach humanity the simple art of living. Living from the inside out instead of living mechanically from the outside, following governments who follow specious things like the market. The market, Maitreya says, is blind, and the politicians are blind men following the blind markets. He says they will lead you to the edge of the precipice. He comes to make sure we do not go over that precipice.
And the next question is, does Maitreya have enough people accepting his ideas to succeed? And the reply is, on the day of declaration, Maitreya will call on all humanity to respond. Not all, of course, will respond to him. Millions will be against him, and he knows this already. It is not a question of every single individual being counted and having their say. It is a question of when a critical mass is attained. Then it flows out from there, and it becomes more and more. Some people will wait on one side to see what other people will do, and some will grasp it immediately and will accept it gladly and try to do what Maitreya is talking about. Others will just deny the whole thing and say, we want rid of this man and call him the Antichrist and worse, and try by every means to get rid of him. But it will not happen again. They tried and they got rid of Jesus, through whom Maitreya acted 2,000 years ago, but that was then. Now it is a completely different world with educated people and a world with thousands more disciples of various levels in the world who are working with him and through whom he works.
On the day of declaration, Maitreya will speak to the world like an elder brother, showing the long, long time we have been in the world, the height from which we have fallen into the space materialism of today, and show a vision of the world ahead, the civilization which awaits us to make, and the technology and extraordinary science of the future which awaits us. All of this will be shown. People will never have experienced anything like this before. His energy, which we call the Christ principle, will flow out in tremendous potency through the hearts of all humanity. People will become like little children again, and they will say, tell us what we have to do. We are ready for it. We know it's the truth. We know it's the only way ahead for humanity. And they will feel honored at discovering their true inner divinity and seeing it even at a junior level as a child again, after all these years of hardness and denial of their divinity.
And that's all we have time for today. So if you wish to get in touch with us, you can look us up on share-international.org. And once again, blessings to you all.